Are you ready for an event unlike any other? Straight Talk Podcast and America's Sheriff David Clark present the first ever Badge of Honor Cruise. Sail on Royal Caribbean's Adventure of the Seas from December 7th to 13th for a week that celebrates police bravery and honor. This is not just an event. It's a movement to show support for law enforcement excellence. Join us for networking, podcast sessions, and a black tie gala where courage and honor are not just recognized, but celebrated. The event will feature other distinguished speakers and celebrities, such as Sheriff David Clark, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Tom Homan, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. Reservations are open for cruise cabins and event badges, including General, VIP, and Partner badges. We're also calling for nominations for officers who've shown exceptional service. Visit badgeofhonorcruise.com to reserve your badge level, book a room, and nominate a hero. Join us in celebrating our men and women in blue. Make your reservations today at badgeofhonorcruise.com.
226 officers lost their lives while on duty in 2022.
Blue lives matter in America.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You're listening to a new episode of the Straight Talk Podcast with your host, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. In case you didn't notice, the sky fell last week. In case you didn't notice, panic set in about the upcoming presidential election, which is going to take place in November of this year. How many times haven't you listened to this podcast where I have advised you? You notice I didn't say told you. I try not to lecture. Sometimes it seems like I might be, but I advise you, as it relates to the world of politics, focus, focus, focus. Focus on what's important here. And what I mean by that is, and then the sky is falling mention that I made, what happened in the state of Arizona when the Arizona State Supreme Court ruled 4-2 that the 1824 law, I think it was 1824, which outlawed all abortions except in the case of the life to save the mother, was outlawed. And everybody on the right side of the aisle politically, Republicans, conservative, panicked. And you know, I've also talked about on this podcast how the news cycle works and how we're manipulated, how we're easily led away from what's important by the news media who will tell us what's important instead of we, the people, telling them what we want to hear about. You know, they present these shiny objects that lead us astray. Let me give you some examples. You notice how nobody's talking about the Hunter Biden laptop anymore? And I'm not saying we should be, but remember that's all that anybody was talking about in the media I'm talking about. That's all they were talking about. Not anymore. And you know, they move us around like this with this shiny object, knowing we will become easily distracted. So the state of Arizona now, according to the United States Supreme Court, and they'll end up, the legislature controlled by the GOP, and they have a Democrat governor, but they'll change this before November, because they know that an 1824 law has to be amended. I mean, you got a state of Florida that passed a law banning abortions, I think, after the sixth week. And we didn't have the hysteria, probably because, you know, Florida's not a swing state. But we have to get this notion out of our heads that the stuff in politics, that the political landscape occurs in a linear fashion, because it doesn't. It's more asymmetrical, and it moves, and it darts, and it slows down, and it speeds up, and it's all over the map. I get that. But that's where the discipline comes in. Let's focus on what's important. We just spent the last at least 6 months listening to from the media and from the polls how Joe Biden cannot win this election. He cannot win this election. We just spent the last 6 months listening to the polls and the media tell us that people say these are the three top issues for them, the voters, going into the November election. Number one was immigration. Number two is the economy. And number three is crime. And we've heard this over and over and over again. And I believe that. Don't get me wrong. Then all of a sudden, the Arizona State Supreme Court comes down with this ruling, and that gets bounced off of the front page. Immigration, the economy, and crime gets bounced off the front page, and abortion takes its place as the top issue that we're going to talk about. To which I say, are you kidding me? First of all, I've heard it, you know, all over the map from all the pundits, the talking heads, the experts. Well, Arizona, this changes everything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change everything. How can you, as a voter, anywhere, even for people living in Arizona, say, my top three issues going into November are immigration, the economy, and crime, and then all of a sudden, abortion changes that for you? Are you kidding me? Let me say this about this abortion issue. And yeah, it's a sticky issue for the Republicans and for conservatives because they're afraid of it. You notice how the people on the left are not afraid to talk about late-term abortions and post-birth abortion? They don't run from it. They don't tell their voters and their supporters, oh, don't talk about that. We don't want anybody to know that. It's loud and clear. Abortion on demand at any time, including post-birth killing and murdering of babies. So the Republicans are afraid this is going to change everything. They're running on, the people running for elected office, especially in the Congress right now, they're all changing their position based on what happened in Arizona. Who gives a damn what's happening in Arizona? First of all, I'm in Wisconsin. All right, and that issue hasn't raised its ugly head. I know the Democrats will try to make it raise its ugly head going into November. But think about this for a second. I'm going to mention some demographics who don't give a damn about the abortion issue. Number one is black people. First of all, there would be a unique opportunity for the Republican Party, if they're actually going to go after the black vote, to run some ads on how the murder of babies industry is predicated on black women who are more inclined, I shouldn't say more inclined, what I should say is more black babies are aborted than any other demographic. Black babies, that's a form of genocide. Why didn't the Republican Party market it as such? They're trying to wipe you out and present the data. In 2014 in New York, more black babies were aborted than were born. That, to me, is startling. You know who else doesn't really care about abortion as an issue? Hispanic voters. They're not all wrapped up in this issue of my right, my ovaries, my whatever. And that's the second largest group that is victimized by abortion. Hispanics. So the Democrats are using it to try to gin up their female voting demographic. I get it. Women voters. Suburban women. And you know what? Do you know how many suburban women would never have an abortion and never have? Now, they still may see it as, well, you know, they're buying into the my body, my choice. Reproductive freedom. No, it's not. You're killing babies. You're not reproducing anything. So I just, you know, for many of these people that are running for Republican seats, I want to keep that in mind. You know, that's not that big an issue. It is for the Democrats, but it shouldn't be for conservatives and Republicans. Men don't, as a demographic, men don't care about that issue of abortion. So I touched on, you know, three demographics, large ones, that could make a difference in the election in November. Men, blacks, Hispanics. So why the angst, I say, and I ask? I go back to focus, focus, focus. Now, none of us knows, including me, at least I admit it, what's going to happen between now and November. It's the middle of April. This thing, if you subscribe to my theory or my thesis, the politics happens in an asymmetrical fashion and not a linear fashion. We don't know what's going to happen between now and November that might change this whole dynamic. I get it. But as long as we have the Democrats on the run about immigration, inflation, the economy, and crime, why don't we keep hammering them with it? Why are we running after their issue of abortion? Oh, we got to do something. Oh, we got to be afraid. Oh, we got to change our stance. I don't know. I don't get it. You know what it is? It's a lack of discipline. That's what it is. Okay, that was a big deal in Arizona. And yeah, the political pundits, they jump on because they have to have something to talk about, right? And they're tired of talking about immigration, the inflation, the economy, and crime. They're tired of talking about it. I mean, I've heard people say this changes everything for Joe Biden. No, it doesn't. This issue will settle down. It'll go away like the Hunter Biden laptop story. Eventually, this too, what happened in Arizona, shall pass. And it'll fade back into its rightful place, way down on the totem pole in terms of an important issue for voters, way down. You talk to suburban women. It is not the number one issue. It's not. So, and let me say this about the pro-lifers. Because remember, in my world, there are no sacred cows. I'm pro-life. Everybody knows that. Well, I shouldn't assume everybody does. I've made it clear, my position. I've talked about it on this podcast. Why are the pro-lifers? How come they're not flooding to Arizona? I'm seeing the supporters of murdering babies out in the streets in Arizona. As soon as this decision came down, they hit the streets. How many times have I said, we have to do a better job of utilizing protests to change the dynamic, to change opinions, to change minds? We don't do it. We're horrible at it. Our side, conservatives, we won't get out in the streets. The pro-baby murder crowd is already demonstrating in front of the state house in Arizona. Already. We're the pro-lifers. You know what the pro-lifers are good at? Every May, they show up in Washington, D.C. to protest and march and rally in front of the United States Supreme Court in observance of the, you know, it's now defunct, but anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And that's it. I haven't seen a pro-life rally in the state of Wisconsin in years. Not one. Where are they? You got all these candidates for office that worry about the pro-life vote and what they say, and they're dancing and, you know, walking on eggshells and delicate about what they're saying about abortion. Where's the pro-life? And where's the money? I haven't seen one pro-life ad in years during election cycles. Where are the ads? Why aren't the pro-life groups running TV ads talking about the gruesome nature of abortion? I've already given them the script. Talk about how it kills black babies. Talk about use genocide. You know how the left is using genocide as it relates to Israel and the war in Gaza. You know, that's their word now, genocide. It's happening every day to black babies. It is time for the pro-life groups to stand up and be counted. Get in the streets. Counter protests at all of these damn pro-life rallies and protests. I'm getting sick of seeing it. Never answer them. But then they want to hold Republican candidates' feet to the fire. Because they've already done this over, you know, like, as Republican candidates and even office holders switch their stance at abortion. And it's okay if it's fluid. Not being in support of it, but I, and I've said, I take a reasonable approach. I think I read my statement on it. I'll do it again before the November election where I'm at on it. And one of the things I've said early on is nobody wants to get in the way of a doctor and a patient, a patient who's been raped or the victim of incest who gets pregnant. Nobody wants to get in the middle of that. That should be between her and her doctor. That's not pro-life. My gosh, where's the compassion, for heaven's sake? You have to demonstrate some compassion for a victim of rape or incest. I also flipped a switch, and I talked about Dr. Gosnell, the doctor of death, who's sitting in a federal prison, or it might be a state prison, right now in Pennsylvania for the murder of babies, including post-birth, pulling fetuses out that are still alive, that are moving and snapping their necks, using forceps to cut their neck, their spines. That hurts just saying it. That's what you do to the left. And you tell them, here's what you support. Dr. Gosnell, and describe it. It's all in the court proceedings. Assistants of his testifying what he was doing. Then how about the harvesting of baby parts? That Planned Parenthood woman talking about she needed a high-end car and she's got to get some money from these baby parts. Remember that? I think it was Porsche. She said, I need, you know, to get some money for my Porsche. Remind people of that. All these suburban moms. Remind them of that stuff. I mean, this is the job not of a Republican candidate. This is the job of the pro-life movement. And they need to get their rear ends out there in the streets, other than in May in Washington, D.C., and in these swing states, where now all of a sudden, you know, and I heard going back to something I just said a couple minutes ago, people saying, well, I guess, you know, that takes Arizona out of the swing state and puts it in Biden's column. No, it doesn't. Because as those polls were being taken in Arizona, the top three issues for the voters in Arizona going into November were immigration or illegal immigration, the economy, inflation, and crime. Now, all of a sudden, number one is abortion? It doesn't work like that. Voting behavior doesn't work like that. Now, there are some single-issue voters. But for those who are going to change their vote or their position based just on abortion, you can't, you know, you won't win those anyway. That isn't the those don't happen in the numbers or don't exist in the numbers that people are portrayed. Oh, abortion is, oh, that's number. No, it's not. That thing will settle down. The Arizona legislature will figure something out to update that law from, you know, zero to whatever. I mean, I didn't see that affecting, you know, some of these governors that signed these bills. Alabama, I think that was 16-week. I think it's about the national average for the states that, you know, tend to be red. It's, you know, a period of time, gestation, and then they say no more after that. That's reasonable. But I really want to remind these pro-lifers out there, stop threatening these candidates of pulling your support if they change from pro-life to, well, I support, you know, a 16-week as the limit or six, whatever it is. Stop it. And keep in mind what I talked about in the last podcast. You know, we got some Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court justices that might be, you know, end up retiring or, God forbid, they die or get sick or ill or whatever and can't go on. So for you pro-lifers, if you like they did with Roe v. Wade, turned it over to the states, took away federal protection where it didn't belong, keep that in mind, because if Joe Biden or United States Senate, controlled by Democrats, gets to make the decision on Supreme Court replacements, and some of them happen to be conservatives that leave the bench, then you're screwed anyway. That's the prize, the United States Supreme Court. I'm not asking you pro-lifers to change your position. I'm just telling you right now, and yeah, now I'm telling you, you'll lose it all if Joe Biden becomes president and Chuck Schumer remains the majority leader of the U.S. Senate. Because should something happen to Alito or Thomas, God forbid, then you're done. So that's why I always tell people, you know, I advise people, you know, take a deep breath when this stuff breaks. It's breaking news. Take a deep breath and step back for a moment. This too shall pass. We will not be talking about abortion come October. We don't know what's going to be happening in between then. You know, war could really break out in the Middle East with Iran now threatening retaliatory action against Israel. This thing is spinning out of control. This is not just about Israel stopping their offensive in Gaza. So, you know, I don't know what the issue is going to be, what's going to happen over the summer. I don't know. But neither do all these pundits who claim to know. The Middle East came across this, which I found interesting. Son of Hamas founder blasts student supporters in the U.S. Those pro-Palestine need to go to a mental asylum, he said. And I've talked about this guy before. I've read stuff from him on this podcast. You know, so I remind you, I come back to stuff. It doesn't just, this too shall pass. So this is from Newsbreak.com. The son of one of the founders of Hamas has blasted the terror group's student supporters in the United States, accusing them of participating in Hamas's brutal crimes and declaring that they, quote, need to go to a mental asylum. Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of Hamas founder Sheikh Hassan Youssef, made the remarks as he appeared on Dr. Phil Primetime last week to debate two anti-Israel student activists from University of Michigan. This is a quote from Youssef, the son. It's very disappointing to see Americans supporting Hamas and thinking that Hamas is a cool thing while Hamas does not respect any of those followers, Youssef said. The Hamas defector, we're talking about Youssef, the son, the Hamas defector said the bloodthirsty terrorists would torture them and massacre them with no mercy. Yes. That's how stupid these pro-Palestine people are. What should happen is somebody should arrange a tour of Gaza and take all these pink and purple-haired and rainbow flag-wearing people, take them over there and take them on a bus tour and drop them off for a day and say, go explore. You're pro-Palestinian. Go out there and see how this, you know, see what really happens. Like this son of this Hamas defector said, they would torture them and massacre them with no mercy. Youssef went on to explain how the militants refer to their American supporters as useful idiots. He called Hamas a monster that has been hijacking an entire society and endangering the entire Middle East, pushing the world toward a global war. Quote from Yousef, the Sun, what's happening is insanity. Those pro-Palestine need to go to a mental asylum. Yousef said he knew what he was talking about because he spent time in prison with Hamas leaders. Quote, I was born there and part of that culture, part of that religion, he explained. Some people hear about Hamas or they see an avatar of a Hamas fighter carrying a rifle, a freedom fighter, and they think it's a fancy idea to support such a monster. Turning the page. Big thing going on in Washington, D.C., one of the big things, because everything's a big thing and deal in Washington, D.C., and I say that facetiously, is this Section 702 of the Patriot Act and whatever they call it now. Every time it's renewed, it's got a new name. And there's some pushback on people supporting the Constitution. Let me read you what it says from the Constitution. And keep this in mind as we talk about this next topic. The Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Shall not, not should not. Shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. It's that simple. No unreasonable searches. And you know what other Supreme Court definitions and case law said what it means to be unreasonable is without a warrant. What makes the search reasonable by the government is with a warrant. It doesn't say what makes it reasonable is a threat to national security and, you know, we don't have time and it's confidential and we can't talk. It doesn't say that here, ladies and gentlemen. It says no unreasonable searches, period. Get a warrant. That's all you have to do. It doesn't say the government can never search. It says get a warrant. And I know what you hear, that you're going to hear, because you hear the same bull crap every time these issues come up dealing with the FBI and the DOJ and the intel agencies and the CIA. The sky is falling and the world's going to end and we don't have time to get a warrant. Well, then you don't have time to get a warrant. Then you're SOL, crap out of luck. I know it said SOL, but I'll, in case boys and girls are listening, you're SOL. That's what the Constitution said. That's what the founders want. That's what the founders knew. He knew of the tendency for governments to be abusive and to overstep that. And I've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about the FBI abuses as it relates to privacy of individual citizens over and over and over again. I think that the classic case is the Steele dossier, where you had high-ranking people within the FBI that authorized people to go to a FISA court and lie and withhold information to get a search warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. They lied under oath, and nothing happened. And how many times have I read of other abuses by the government where the inspector general has found illegal searches and not like two or three, but like tens of thousands of times? And what do we get from the FBI? Well, we've put some safeguards in place to prevent that from happening again. And it keeps on happening because the FBI doesn't give a damn about what the law says. And they're never held accountable for it. Never. And so every time I hear, when these renewals come up, and we're hearing it again under this Section 702, of the FISA bill to renew it. You know, oh, we got safeguards in place now that we've written in here to make it's all BS because the FBI just ignores it anyway. No reform effort that has been undertaken since the Inspector General is finding all these things and a new reforms put in place. No reform effort ever succeeds. They just find new ways around it, or they don't tell you, or they bury it in a classified document so that you never know your rights have been abused under the Fourth Amendment. And, you know, we're just kind of like, you know, we just, you know, the shoulder shrug and, oh, that's terrible. And I hope these reforms work. And none of it, it's all bullcrap. Who was it that said? He who would give up privacy for a little security deserves neither privacy nor security? Was right. We don't deserve it. Well, you know, the government has assured us that, you know, terrorism, I don't give a damn about that. I care about the Constitution and what it says. And if the government sees a need to violate Americans' rights, go get a warrant. Then you're covered. Tell the truth under oath or affirmation, like the Fourth Amendment says. You got to swear that what you're telling is the truth. And then it's all you know. You don't hide stuff. They didn't tell that FISA judge, well, you know, the Steele dossier was paid for by the Clinton campaign. They didn't tell the judge that. And then everybody just is allowed to, you know, move along. Nothing to see here. Nobody gets fired. Nobody gets demoted. Nobody gets suspended. Nobody gets prosecuted. Then every time one of these things comes up for renewal is, well, we have to do this because, you know, there's terrorist threats out there. And you know, we got to, no, you don't. Go get a damn warrant. It's what Congress should tell these people. And stop falling for all that sky is falling rhetoric. Well, we don't have time. And they haven't been able to produce one instance, not one, where they weren't able to interrupt a terrorist plot because, you know, they took the time to get a warrant and in the interim, you know, kaboom. They don't have one instance because there are none. But they use that standard line and these idiots in Congress fall for it. Well, we don't want to be the ones that are blamed for not being able to prevent a terrorist attack. These people can't be trusted. The FBI, the CIA, the intel agencies, the DOJ, they can't be trusted. No reform is going to stop them. So anyway, with this new renewal of his FISA bill, Trump urges House Republicans to kill FISA bill, adding to the headaches for Speaker Johnson. That's the headline of this from CNN.com. Let me stop right there and talk about Speaker Johnson. I've had his back, but my patience with him is wearing thin, very thin. I have been willing to give this guy a chance to find his sea legs, if you will, to get up to speed. You know, he was handed the speakership, and that's like a ball of tangled fishing line trying to sort out. I get it. Going to take him time. I get it, and I've been willing to give him time. But my patience is wearing thin with Speaker Johnson, because he's caving to this typical Washington, D.C. nonsense. Like on the Ukraine bill, he's starting to cave. And now on this FISA thing, he was against this provision in here that allowed the FBI to do warrantless searches. Originally, he was against it. Now, all of a sudden, he says, well, I've talked to some people, and I think that needs to be in there. No, it doesn't. So anyway, going back to the article here Former President Donald Trump is urging House Republicans to kill a surveillance reauthorization bill ahead of a key procedural vote on Wednesday, adding to headaches for GOP leaders who have struggled to build support for the legislation as it faces pushback from conservative hardliners. Quote, this is a post from President Trump on Truth Social. Kill FISA. Trump wading into the debate now is a major problem for House Speaker Mike Johnson that could imperil the entire bill, as some hardliners were already either critical of the measure or on the fence about it. Goes on to say here, FISA and Section 702 have been essential to intercepting communications of dangerous foreign actors overseas, understanding the threats against our country, countering our adversaries, and saving countless American lives, Johnson said in a letter to colleagues on Friday. Where did he get that crap from? Chuck Schumer? Christopher Wray? That's right out of their book. They say countless Americans. They can't name one instance. And if they were forced to, they'd say, well, that's confidential. We can't talk about it. Well, then it's not important enough. American people want to know. Before we give you more authority to step on their rights, they want to know. Countless. You know why it's countless? Because the answer is the amount is zero. That's why it's countless. The amount of American lives that these inept people have saved is zero. How many terrorist actions since 9/11 in this country have happened? And after it did, the FBI, yeah, that guy was on our radar. He was in our radar screen. But they did nothing to stop it or intercept it. Nothing. To a foreign adversary. But now they want to spy on American citizens who aren't involved in terror but happen to be caught up in this net. Because this whole damn act, FISA, was supposed to deal with foreign nationals on foreign soil, not American citizens on American soil. Get a warrant. And why the Republicans in Congress are, you know, have this angst. Well, you know, they say they need it because it's, you know, it's saving countless lives. Why they're falling for this crap is beyond me. They ought to kill this whole damn thing. Section 702, this whole FISA thing, kill it all. Just go get a warrant. That should be the standard take on all this. Go get a warrant. What's the Constitution say? So it says here, the Speaker went on to say that the bill the House is expected to take up includes reforms. See, there we go again. Reform, includes reforms. They have reformed this thing over and over and over again, and nothing works. They still keep spying on Americans without a warrant. Includes reforms. See, and then we the people, we fall for this crap. Well, yeah, we got to, you know, we need a balancing act. We got to stop terrorism, and we got to give up some of our rights. No, we don't. And don't get me started on that TSA crap that I've talked about on this podcast. That's another thing that needs to be ended. All that was an overreaction to 9/11 because the federal intel agencies responsible for that to have thwarted 9/11 were asleep at the switch. So we give them all this authority now because that was their excuse. Wow, we could have stopped 9/11, but we needed more tools. Remember, that's another one they like. We need more tools. And you have Congress parrot that crap. We have to give them more tools. No, we don't. These people are incompetent. I'm surprised they can tie their shoes when they get up in the morning. So this bill includes reforms, quote, that will establish new procedures to rein in the FBI, increase accountability at the FISA court, and impose penalties for wrongdoing and institute unprecedented transparency across the FISA process so we no longer have to wait years to uncover potential abuses. If you actually believe that, then you are an idiot. We keep hearing the same stuff over and over and over again. And even as the Inspector General finds this and they put, you know, the FBI says, we have procedures in place to prevent that. He comes back a year later and says the abuses are still occurring. And then, of course, yeah, we don't, you know, we find out this stuff happened in, you know, 2018. It's too late. imposing penalties for wrongdoing. When's the last time an inspector general found blatant abuses and notified the FBI of the abuses and anything happened to anybody involved in it? If penalties for wrongdoing, listen to this, and institute unprecedented transparency across the FISA process. It's a secret court. There's no transparency involved. Nobody involved in the FISA process can talk about it. The judges can't talk about it. The hearings are held in secrecy. What do you mean more transparency? Who's supposed to be stupid enough to believe this crap? More transparency? Every time you ask the FBI about something that went on during the FISA process, they say, well, that's confidential information and that'll imperil the people involved and, you know, could curtail national security. It's a secret court. What are you talking about? Unprecedented transparency. See, now many people read this and then they just keep reading and moving on. I always stop and I go, wait. I need to talk about this on the podcast. I bet many of you have not seen this article. Not that you need to, but that's what you have me for. And I read critically. And when I see stuff like this, words matter. I thought, unprecedented transparency in the FISA process. It's a secret process. It should happen out in the open. And all the transcripts should be available to the media who ask for it. Through open records, well, that's the state level. Freedom of Information Act. You can't get anything from the FISA court under a Freedom of Information Act. So what transparency do they have in place? So it says here, and this is important too, Johnson had previously announced that the House will take up a FISA reauthorization bill this week. The bill, titled the Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, yeah, right, would reauthorize Section 702 of FISA for 5 years and aims to impose a series of reforms. Oh, here we go again. This is like the 187th time we've tried to reform these abusive institutions, these abusive practices, and this abusive process. It just doesn't stop. And yet they testify to this crap at these hearings. I'm talking about members of Congress and the FBI. Oh yeah, we're doing everything we can to protect the rights of the American people. No, they're not. That's a lie. And nobody stops Christopher Wray dead in his tracks and then starts reading the stuff that I read to you. That, well, how about this? The IG said he found tens of thousands and that the reforms that they promised to make didn't take hold. They don't. They don't stop them. They just, they all nod their heads and we have to do everything we can to stop terrorism. I'm tired of this crap. I'm just tired of it. So it says here, and this is a quote, FISA and Section 702 have been essential in intercepting communications of dangerous foreign actors overseas, understanding the threats against our country, countering our adversaries, and saving countless American lives, Johnson said in a letter to colleagues. Our responsibility now is simple. Now remember, listen to this, because I just talked about it. Our responsibility now is simple. Maintain the tool, but strictly prohibit future abuses. They've been doing this since 9/11. Giving them tools and safeguarding Americans' essential liberties. No, they have. I mean, they've been saying that since 9/11, and they're not doing that. They're still spying on Americans on U.S. soil without a warrant. Speaker went on to say that the bill the House is expected to take up includes reforms that will establish new procedures to rein in the FBI over and over and over again. Impose penalties for wrongdoing and institute unprecedented transparency across the FISA process so we no longer have to wait years to uncover potential abuses. Nothing has changed. about our rights being trampled on by the federal government, and nothing will change. As a matter of fact, it'll get worse. So if you get a chance, I mean, they're testifying this as I speak. They're trying to fast track it. There's no need to, but that's how things happen in Washington, D.C., because no person in Congress wants to be accused of the next terror attack, accused of standing in the way of the federal government, interrupting or intervening on the attack, when these people aren't competent anyway. They make themselves seem like they're in the know, like they're good. They're not. And the next time one of these happens, and it will, I'll remind you of it. Oh, how come the FBI wasn't able to? And the CIA and the intel agencies, where were they? Well, it was on our radar screen. I'm tired of hearing that too. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your week.
When you talk about race, crime, and politics, some folks lose sleep over this, but not me, because I sleep just fine on my Giza Dream Sheets and Pillow from MyPillow, especially this new 2.0. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you are missing out. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, and save up to 66% off. The direct link is also available on my website, AmericaSheriff.com. Get a great night's sleep so we can continue the fight. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. 706-518-2116. That's JL Wilkinson Consulting at gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.